Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Would you please be seated? Those of you who have known me for a long time know that at various points I have tried to be a runner. I desperately wanted to be a runner. I really wanted to be the kind of person who got up every morning and ran 2, 3, 4, 5 miles and came back and looked down on everybody who couldn't. How do you know someone's a runner? They'll tell you. But the problem was, after a few weeks of training, I would get on my Couch to 5K app and I would start training. After a few weeks, my left knee would start hurting. And this concerned me. As I was running, I was thinking about all these things, about damaging my knee and having to get a knee replacement and all this stuff. It just went round and round and round and round in my head to the point that almost every single time that I wanted to become a runner, I quit because I was just so anxious. And then it got cold out or it was raining or whatever, and I stopped. So I did not know what this pain meant. And so I made it worse than it was. Today we're going to be looking at our second lesson from Romans chapter 5. That's on page 5. And we're going to be asking about what pain means in the spiritual life. And the reason that we're doing this is that eventually I did go to a doctor. I did have the knee imaged. I did find out that there was absolutely nothing wrong with my left knee. It's just the pain of the knee getting stronger. I'm still not a runner. There is pain that signals damage, and there is pain that signals health and growth, and we need to be able to discern the difference in our spiritual lives. So in this passage from Paul's letter to the Romans, we're going to start with this second paragraph. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The very first thing when we're thinking about pain in our spiritual life is that when we are following after God, any pain that we might feel has nothing to do with God's love for you. Look, in our spiritual lives, especially in Lent, when we are trying actively to move towards God and our left knee, our spiritual left knee starts to hurt, sometimes the thoughts start worrying. Maybe I'm not cut out for this. Maybe God doesn't want me. Maybe. And we stop. But what Paul tells us here is that, look, when you were weak, when you were ungodly, when you were a sinner, Christ loved you enough to die for you. There is no amount of experience in this life. There is nothing that can happen to you on your spiritual journey that will communicate to you that God has stopped loving you. While we were still sinners, before we could do anything to earn it, God loved us with a love that goes beyond human understanding. Rarely will someone die for a righteous person, but Jesus dies for us, even when we were not righteous. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, we will be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, we will be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Y'all, I know that we're in the South. It's real easy to try to keep things to ourselves, to not boast about things, or on the other hand, to boast about things in that backhand kind of way that we're so good at. The love that God has for you, though, is something that you can boast about. In sin, we damaged our relationship with God, with ourselves, with one another, and with creation. This is the story of Genesis 1 through 3. This reconciliation is God restoring these relationships. It's because of his love that he called you to holy baptism. It's because of his love that you are here. So you can boast. You can say out loud to yourselves and others, you know what? God loves me. I don't know what that means all the time, but it's true. God loves me. And no matter what pain my spiritual left knee might be experiencing right now, nothing can separate me from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now going to the top. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Being justified means being put in the right. It means being shown that you are right. While we were sinners, while we were ungodly, we were not in the right. But because of Jesus' rescue mission that goes through cross and resurrection, we have been placed in good standing with God, and there's nothing that we can do to earn it. The only thing that we can do is trust that it's true. That's what this faith means. We come to know that in Jesus Christ, we have been put in right standing with God. We are reconciled with God, and therefore we are reconciled with one another. We are reconciled with the world. It is through this Jesus Christ, through his life, death, resurrection, and ascension, that we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing in the glory of God. Hope is in front of us. We long for hope. We're moving towards hope. And sharing the glory of God, being completely whole in God's presence and reflecting that glory as a mirror, is what we are moving towards. Guess what? God loves you enough not to leave you the way you are. God loves you enough to help you grow. God loves you enough to bring people in your life to scour the stuff off the mirror. God loves you enough to spray on the Windex. God loves you enough to put in the elbow grease. Is that right? Yes, the elbow grease to make you whole so that you can share his glory. And because we can boast in this, because we know that God loves us, because we know that God reconciles us, because we've accepted this with trust, we can not only boast in where God is taking us, we can boast in the present day, we can boast in our sufferings. Knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. As I said at the beginning, a lot of times when our spiritual lives start to hurt, we think there must be something wrong. Just like I thought with my left knee, there must be something wrong. But couched in love, held by the God who loves us. Pain is not a sign of something being wrong. Pain is a sign of growth. Look, when you go to the gym for the first time in a dozen years and you lift up some heavy weights, things are going to hurt the next day. This is not a sign that something wrong, other than you having ignored the gym for the last 12 years. This is a sign of something becoming right. And if we don't run away from that pain, then that suffering produces what? What does it say? Come on. Suffering produces endurance. There it is. Thank you. Suffering produces endurance by showing up and continuing to show up to God and to others, by doing it even when it's hard. We learn to keep showing up. We learn how to endure even when things get difficult. And that endurance produces what?
Character.
That's right. This endurance isn't just an act of will. It changes who we are inside. It changes our character. It changes our personality. It helps us grow up into who we are in Jesus Christ. And this character, what happens next? What does this character produce?
Hope.
Hope. Because we've seen that in the difficult times of our lives that the love of God has seen us through, we've learned how to endure. We've learned how to endure, therefore we have grown as people. And now that we have come to this place, having grown as people, the hope becomes more real. So one time I actually did become a runner for a period of time. I got to the point where I was able to run half of a half marathon. Okay, so 7-8 miles, something like that. It was the longest I'd ever run in my life. And it got easier over time. I was training with someone. This is something else about endurance. It's very difficult to do alone. You need to be with others. I was training with someone. We were raising money for the theological college that we were living at in England. And it got to the point where I had become, my body had become, my spirit had become something different. And I knew that all of a sudden, this thing that I thought was impossible was now possible. And that was by sticking with the pain of the left knee, of enduring, of developing character. And now that character opened up into hope, and that hope does not disappoint us. Ultimately, not because of the change that has happened to us, but because of God's love that's been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. The Catechism asks, how do we know the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives? And the answer is, we know the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives when we grow in love of God and we're reconciled with our neighbors, each other, and the world. Friends, this Lent is about that. This is the intentional training for the marathon of the spiritual life. And sometimes we get to the middle about where we are and it's just hard. But I invite you to turn your mind to Jesus, who loves you more than you can love yourself. And imagine him as the coach, the trainer, who's calling you on to love and good deeds so that endurance will develop, so that your character will grow, so that you will attain that sure and steady hope that God is calling you to something wonderful, that God is doing something wonderful through you. And now we turn to the table. Week by week, we show up for God here. We bless God here, and God returns that blessing in bread and wine. We are running a race. We are training. This is the waypoint where you come to receive spiritual food and drink so that you can be sent out again to keep running. So if your left knee is hurting this morning, stick with it. God loves you. We love you. You are not alone. And if you need help on this journey, reach out. We will be there every step of the way. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.